Just on 6 o'clock, so we might get started. I declare the meeting opened at 6 p.m. I'd like to welcome councillors, council staff, members of the gallery and residents who are present. Can I ask you please to be upstanding for the Lord's Prayer? Lord, we humbly beseech thee to vouchsafe thy blessing on this council, direct and prosper its deliberations for the advancement of this area and the true welfare of its people. Amen. Please be seated. I would also like to acknowledge the Wangal people who are the traditional custodians of this land. I would like to pay my respects to their elders, both past and present, and extend that respect to other First Nations people who may be present. Now, I jumped the gun, I think, because we had some speakers. So before we get into the meeting proper, discussion, debate, or questions involving councillors or staff is not permitted. The subject matter only is to be discussed. Personalities are not to be addressed, and you may speak on the two items on the agenda. Welcome. We have no further speakers. I'll just remind councillors of their oath of affirmation of office under section 223A of the Local Government Act and their obligation under council's code of meeting practice and conduct to disclose and appropriately manage conflicts of interest. Recording the meeting and council and committee meetings are audio recorded for the purpose of assisting with the preparation of meeting minutes and promoting public transparency, and they are promptly made available for public review via the council website. I note there are no apologies, leave of absence, excuse me, declarations of interest by councillors. I will declare, while it's not a planning decision, I still will, in the interest of transparency, declare it a pecuniary interest in the item 1/24, which is council's submission on the Todd program at the Croydon precinct. My reason is I own a property at the Strand, Croydon. I have received advice, just for the record, from some professionals who advise that because council is not the planning authority, I am able to advocate. But because there is a decision, and it could mean that part of that decision is that council staff may investigate other options, I will remove myself from that decision to keep it transparent. Is there any other, and the deputy mayor will chair the meeting. Is there any other declarations of interest? I note there are no other declarations of interest by councillors. Is there a declaration of political donations? Note there are no declarations of political donations. Do I have a confirmation of the minutes for the 2nd of November 2023 being moved by Councillor Manor, seconded by Councillor Crichton? I'll put the motion. All those in favour, those against, declare that carried unanimously. Now we're into the agenda item. The first agenda item is 1/24, which is the Todd item. Can I just ask that we move two up first and then you deal with one? So we can at least deal with the heritage one, then I can go out because we've got to release a media post on that while our staff are still here. So do I have a motion to change the item agenda to start with item 2/24 and then deal with 1/24. It's been moved by Councillor Manor, seconded by Councillor Espar. Put the motion, all those in favour, those against, declare that carried unanimously. So the first item we will deal with is the heritage item for the Appian Way. Been moved by Councillor Manor, seconded by Councillor Espar. Oh, Councillor Kutcher. Speakers. Councillor Kutcher, wish to speak.
There's obviously been a lot of work that's gone into this to reach this point. The community's been engaged, particularly the community around the Appian Way, have done a great job bringing this to council's attention and advocating for this work to be done. And I think we need to acknowledge and congratulate them for that. I think it's really important that we acknowledge the significance of the area. That we understand what we're doing here is ensuring that a wonderful part of Burwood, a wonderful part of Burwood Heights, will be protected from inappropriate development, the likes of which we're currently seeing being touted as a solution to a housing affordability crisis. So I think, you know, we can note that, we can acknowledge that, we can congratulate the community on bringing this, and congratulate council on bringing this, and I'll leave it at that.
Any other speakers? Councillor Crome.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Can I just add, I'd also, I do endorse Councillor Kutcher's comments, and I'd also just like to pay tribute to Rosanna Campisi and Alex Titian from the Appian Way community, and for all the work that they've put in and the advocacy to bring about this result here tonight. It is very pleasing in what is our 150th year of Burwood Council. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor. Any other speakers? Look, I'll be speaking in support of the proposal. I think the Appian Way had the opportunity to go back out there today and speak to some of the residents. It's a lovely example of heritage, character, Edwardian-type housing development subdivision that happened almost 120 years ago. And it's a great example of the balanced approach that the council has. And we've had speakers tonight, residents that are speaking to maintain that character. And we've also had some residents who are speaking about the housing crisis and wanting new type housing. And I think our role as councillors and as a council, we can balance that. I can declare that I've had a couple of meetings now with the minister, specifically about the Todd proposal. And I would like to commend the state member who had helped arrange those meetings. And I can say that the minister has a very tough task. I think New South Wales has to deliver close to 400,000 new dwellings, and it's not easy. And he has been very open and responsive to the concerns and the views that this council has put forward. And I'm hoping, confident, that we could come to a resolution where we could still protect the character and the heritage of our area, while at the same time looking, having our staff investigate opportunities to possibly look at what other options are available and what other locations, or even within that same location. I'm not sure. That's something that the staff will have to look at. But in saying that, I think it's a balancing act. And I think it's important that while we need new housing, and we've seen tremendous growth in density in Burwood over the last 15, 20 years, that part of that doesn't destroy the character of suburbs like Croydon and Croydon Park and Enfield, because that's what makes Burwood unique. So, you know, we have 35% of our residents that want to live in an apartment. We also have a lot of our residents that want to live in homes, whether they be heritage or single dwelling homes. Speaking to some of the residents also over the last couple of weeks, some who live in heritage homes who are starting to get a bit older now in their age group and wanting to downsize don't necessarily want to live in an apartment as well. That's the views I've been getting. And we probably are missing some of that, you know, townhouse or terrace type opportunities, and maybe that's something we would need to view and look at as well. But I don't think anyone can argue that Burwood hasn't been doing its part in trying to help with new housing. We are, but it doesn't mean also we can't have involvement from our community and all views heard. And I think we can achieve that without destroying suburbs like Croydon. And I couldn't imagine being in a housing crisis 120 years ago or even today, for example, and not having the Appian Way heritage listed and that being taken away. So I think it's a balancing act. And I think we can listen to the views of both camps and we'll do our best to try to support our younger generation to get into housing and wanting. Oh, I'm a father of four young children, you know, and I know. And I was lucky enough to have been born in Croydon, actually, in Murray Street in the Malvern Hill Estate. And I know how hard it is for young people to get into housing and they don't want to move too far away from family or town or the city. And we need to work on that. We do, but at the same time, we need to ensure that we protect the areas like Croydon because there are people that have moved there because of the character of that suburb and of our area. And there's always been a very, I think, held view from many of our residents who have supported density over the years that it was constrained within a perimeter, high density in and around heavy rail, along build rail station, in a commercial CBD. And we have to remind ourselves too that we have, you know, a growth area in Burwood North, which will have housing growth for the next 15 years. So we are doing our part, and I think we need to balance that. Councillor Manning, you're right to reply.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. No, I agree and congratulate council and councillors for supporting the protection of our heritage. That area there has major significance over the years, and I will continue together with other councillors to support the protection of our important heritage areas. Thank you.
That being the right of reply, I put the motion. All those in favour? Those against? I declare that was carried unanimously. Now we're going into item 1/24, which is the Todd program, Croydon Precinct. I'll hand over to the Deputy Mayor to chair the meeting.
Thank you, councillors. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen in the gallery. Now we go to item 1/24, council submission on transport orientated development, the TOD program at Croydon Precinct. So councillors, do we have a mover for the motion? Move councillor Esper. We have a seconder. Councillor Crichton seconded.
I'd like to move with an amendment, please.
Okay, could you outline what you'd like to move, please?
If we could amend recommendation B so that it reads that the GM be delegated to make changes to the interim submission to include any changes requested by the council instead of councillors, following the DPHI briefing to councils on the 22nd of February 2024. Just
okay.
To be more inclusive.
Is there any other amendment to that you wanted to add?
No further amendment.
Okay, thank you. Speakers for the motion?
Yes, I'd like to speak in support of the motion. I'd like to speak in support of the recommendations in this motion. Croydon is a uniquely important area in terms of its heritage, history, and its streetscape character. And so I'd like to acknowledge and thank council staff and the GM for all their work feedback in council and the community's concerns regarding the transport-oriented development plan via its interim submission to the Department of Planning, Housing and Industry. I'd like to highlight the online petition that was set up on Council's Participate Burwood website from the 22nd of December 2023 to the 28th of January 2024 regarding this proposal, which allowed community to voice their thoughts. The results showed 769 responses received, and all 769 responses received indicated that they did not support the New South Wales government's plan to snap rezone Croydon to allow multi-level development within 400 metres of the train station. The snap zoning of Croydon as proposed in the TOD SEP would be detrimental to the character and village feel of Croydon. It would impact its amenity and destroy the streetscape which shapes Croydon's character and community overall, as well as the larger Belled LGA area, which homes deeply unique heritage history, significant to our identity and our future. Sentiments which were largely and strongly expressed in the online petition. I would also like to thank and acknowledge the State Member Jason Yatson Lee, the Minister for Planning and Public Spaces, Paul Scully, and Premier Chris Minns for all their hard work and efforts as regards to this matter.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Crichton.
Thank you, Mr. Acting Mayor, Deputy Mayor. Thank you. And I would just like to echo the sentiments of my colleague, Councillor Esber, this evening. She's given a very good summary of my thoughts as well. So thank you for that. I think that we have a very thorough and balanced exercise underway. And with that, I would just like to put on record that I do support the officer's recommendation this evening. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Any other speakers? Councillor Kutcher.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Look, I want to speak in support, but I want to acknowledge the good work that council staff have put in to come up with a submission under the circumstances. I mean, it's been an absolutely appalling process from the state government dropping this on people just before Christmas and expecting people. I mean, people have presumably had to work through what should have been a holiday period. On a really significant issue that is going to affect our community in really substantial ways, and we've seen from our speakers that this is polarising for our community. So I do thank our council staff for pulling out all stops and coming up with a submission, which I think on balance is pretty solid, but I thought it could have been a little stronger. Now, I note the remarks from our speaker earlier that this is the biggest attack on heritage since the Askin government. This is an attack that doesn't just impact on Croydon. This is an attack that impacts across the board. And so I would have liked to have seen a solidarity position taken. Perhaps the first recommendation should be that we just don't support this. And we don't support this for Croydon. We don't support this across the board. I think that it would be really good to see what a proper transit-oriented development looks like. A transit-operated development program would be a fantastic thing. It's something that we sorely need. It's policy that we sorely need in New South Wales. I look forward to seeing what one looks like one day. Actually, I mean, probably we could say the master planning of Burwood North precinct gives us a bit of a sense of what a transit-oriented development program might look like, but and I tip my hat to Councillor Hull on this. Without the the clear indication of where community facilities are going to come from, how the impacts of increased density, increased population, increased use of our local facilities how that's going to be addressed, where the money's going to come from, how those things are going to be delivered, and when and where. Without those things, we're not seeing a transit-oriented development program. What we're seeing is a developer-oriented development program around railway stations. We've got to stop drinking the Kool-Aid. The idea that the solution to being priced out of a housing market in Sydney is more supply is a complete furphy that we need to tackle head on. If we're delivering the wrong kind of supply, we are not going to address the housing affordability crisis whatsoever. And I'm really encouraged to see the discussion about negative gearing coming back onto the table since the federal Labor government has started talking about changes to stage three tax cuts. That's where the conversation needs to go. Otherwise, what we're talking about is a way to deliver more property windfall gains to property owners. I mean, the Speaker himself mentioned homeowners don't need to sell unless they want to at an increased price. We're talking about windfalls for property owners that'll deliver whatever kind of increased density in housing. That's not going to reduce the price. The YIMBY sort of pin-up example on this issue is Auckland, and I think it's worth just having a bit of a look at what happened in Auckland. It's claimed as a win because rents stopped going up as fast as they would have if the rezoning hadn't have happened. That's been the narrative around that has been pitched as though property prices have come down. They haven't come down. They've just stopped going up as fast as they had. Rents went up at a rate And I've read this research, I've looked at this analysis, and having worked for 15 years as a housing justice advocate, I think I'm pretty cluey when it comes to this stuff. Rents went up at a rate that was 16% slower than what they would have gone up at if the rezoning hadn't have happened, but they still went up. So I think we need to just be really, really clear about this. Supply side solutions are not a solution to housing affordability. There's plenty of good reasons why we want to increase density. There's plenty of good reasons why we want to do transit oriented development, but we're not seeing that with this policy. And I think we need to be very clear on that. I think I've probably gone on for long enough. Thank you all.
Thank you very much, Councillor Kutcher. Further speakers, Councillor Cole.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. I more or less want to echo the previous Councillor Kutcher's remarks in some respects, but this is an outrageous proposal by the state government. They are displaying a reckless disregard to heritage in this area. They are of the belief that they can bulldoze this proposal through without any consultation whatsoever with not only with councils, although I note with interest there have apparently been meetings with the minister. I'm unaware of what productive outcomes have been achieved by that means, but this is an attempt to bulldoze the proposal through without any consultation, particularly with residents. I mean, we're not hearing about any public consultation period or attempt to consult with the public in any way. The state government needs to take on board that we have a unique heritage area in Croydon. I mean, as one of the speakers pointed out, Morven Hill is, for example, in Croydon, is a unique heritage area. It contains splendid examples of Federation, the bungalow style architecture and Federation styles of housing. It's outrageous to suggest that, you know, these places could be demolished or built out by this irresponsible proposal. Further, the state government needs to be aware that the housing crisis, and you know, I sympathise with views, particularly young people, that they feel that they're being priced out of the market. That's something we have certainly heard before. But, you know, councils really are being, in a sense, made the fall guys or the scapegoats in this whole political game, which was started by the federal government in inducing a housing crisis through a reckless, what could be described as a reckless and irresponsible migration policy, which is of course going to dramatically increase the need for housing because it's so unregulated and so ill thought out. That is a problem. But putting that to one side, we can't solve that tonight, but putting that to one side, I would just finally add that the state government needs to present evidence in any proposal of this kind or of any future SEP type proposals of what new infrastructure it is going to fund and deliver to support the increase in populations that this will inevitably bring to what is one of the smallest LGAs in Australia. There is no thought or serious consideration of that. I haven't seen any evidence of any new infrastructure proposals, whether it be in services, electricity, water delivery, or the broader community infrastructure of, you know, schooling, ambulance, police, and the like. This is a major shortcoming and state government needs to address it urgently. So I completely I concur with the motion and also agree with Councillor Cutcher actually that it could have been put in stronger oppositional terms.
Thank you very much, Councillor. Any other speakers? Yep, Councillor Robertson.
Thank you. Well, this, I want to get across at the end of the day to anyone here over the age of 40, you are simply just holding back a tide momentarily. Because the more you do this, the more that you prevent housing supply in this country, and no matter what my arch conservative friend in the Greens over there believes and his love for early colonial heritage infrastructure here says, I believe in progress. Unlike the Greens, unlike Labor, or maybe the state Labor government. But this is not going to stop. Young people want more housing. We've heard from two young people that they don't want to have to toil for the rest of their lives trying to buy a multi-million property in heritage. Who's going to live in these heritage houses once the people who live there pass away? What's going to happen to these places? They will have to eventually change hands, but are they going to change hands to multimillionaires upon multimillionaires? Will multimillionaires give their kids the money to go and buy those heritage listed houses in the future? It's not going to change. We can preserve the heritage there, I agree. We can have and protect the facades of these buildings. Maybe we should build on top of some of these places. Okay, we're not going to destroy everything. As we said, these are voluntary sales should they want to do it. And as the mayor said before, some people don't even want to leave these places. So why would they sell them for no reason whatsoever if they want to stay there and hand it to the next generation? This is not going to stop. And every single year, more and more kids will be politically turned onto the idea of building more supply because they can't get in. No matter how much you go on and bang on about supply not working, we know it does. And just like you can provide evidence that it doesn't, I can provide evidence that it does. So I'm happy to talk through it outside of this. We can't say here. And I'm glad that the CIS somehow has appeared on the tables here tonight. Folks, if we don't get this right now, I'm telling you, it's going to happen in 20 years. The immigration levels aren't going to change. They're going to keep happening. It's going to keep coming. People are coming. People aren't going to be building more and more out west, out west, out west. We know now that people aren't going working at home like they used to during COVID. People are still transporting to the city. They have to come back to the offices. People want to live near the city. We can keep trying to tell ourselves that we're going to be building further and further and further out, but we're not. There's no plan to do it. Why aren't we doing it? Well, because people don't want to live out there and people do want to live around here. Okay, for a country where the vast, vast majority of people traveled all around across the world to get here to live in an amazing country that has provided stability and wealth for its citizens, how can we not just take the step to provide affordable housing for young people of tomorrow? You know, I mean, what are we going to do in 100 years? Will the Greens and Labor be advocating for the heritage listing of 60s red bricks houses just because they're 100 years old? No. We can preserve heritage, but at the same time, we can provide affordable housing for the Australians that are arriving here and the Australians who are still growing up here, because we all need someone to live. And every time we do something like this, you are denying a family shelter.
Thank you very much, Councillor Robertson. Okay, I just wanted to add that Council has done a lot of work and really, has put a lot of questions to the government, has met with the appropriate authorities, and the mayor has done the same together. It's quite clear that they're going to support another submission if council continues to be able to fight for housing as well as protecting our heritage. Now, of all the residents that wrote into council and council that spoke to them at different meetings, they acknowledged that the importance of working with our community to ensure a balanced approach to housing delivery and protecting those neighbourhoods and streetscapes that our community highly value, and ensuring that the identification of areas for future housing is well planned and supported by strong evidence base, with proper consideration given to ensuring that these areas are supported by adequate and appropriate infrastructure to meet the needs of our rapidly growing population. So well done to all the councillors that have spoken tonight. There's a lot of positive energy here, and we will continue to fight for our people and our area. Your right of reply, Councillor Esper.
Nothing further. Thank you.
Okay, I'd like the motion up. A show of hands, please. Okay, for the motion, we've got Councillor Crichton, Councillor Robertson, Councillor Hull, Councillor Kutcher, Councillor Esper, and Councillor Minna.
I'm against.
Sorry?
I'm against.
You're against it, were you? Sorry, my apologies. So, against the motion is Councillor Robertson. Thank you. So we bring back the mayor so he can take on the rest of the meeting, please. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen in the galleries, councillors, the mayor will be here in a minute. So he's been held up by some people out in front. Here he is. Thank you.
Well, hello again, and I believe we're now up to item 3/24. Do I have a move? Been moved by Councillor Manor, seconded by Councillor Crichton. Speakers? Speakers against? Put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, declare that carried unanimously. Next item is 4/24, which is the draft customer experience strategy. Been moved by Councillor Esper, seconded by Councillor Manor. Speakers for, against, put the motion. All those in favour, those against, declare that carried unanimous. 5/24, which is the draft multicultural build strategy on page 52. It's been moved by Councillor Esper, seconded by Councillor Manor. Speakers for, against, put the motion. All those in favour, those against, declare that carried unanimously. Item 6/24, which is the data breach policy privacy management plan, moved by Councillor Robinson.
Yeah.
Seconded by Councillor Manor. So you can't look up at me.
I always look down.
Any speakers for, against, put the motion. All those in favour, those against, declare the motion carried unanimously. Item 7/24, moved by Councillor. This is on the budget, Councillor Hull. Would you like to move it? No? Moved by Councillor Hull, seconded by Councillor Esper. Speakers for, against, put the motion. All those in favour, those against, declare that carried unanimous. 8/24, which is the investment report as of the 30th of November. And item moved by Councillor Manor, seconded by Councillor Esper. Speakers for, against, put the motion. All those in favour, those against, declare that carried unanimously. Item 9 is the same report for December. Can I just ask, when we have two reports that are similar, maybe you can just wrap them into one item. So you'd still have them as two separate reports, but as the one item with the one recommendation to adopt both reports. Moved by Councillor Manor, seconded by Councillor Esper. Put the motion. All those in favour, those against, declare that carried unanimously. Items 10/24, which is on page 107. It's been moved by Councillor Crichton, seconded by Councillor Manor. Put the motion. All those in favour, those against, declare that carried unanimously. The late report, which is item 13/24, it's a half-yearly report, moved by Councillor Esper, seconded by Councillor Manor. Speakers for and against, put the motion. All those in favour, those against, declare that carried unanimously. Reports of committees, RC1/24, being moved by Councillor Manor, seconded by Councillor Robinson. You looked at me again. Speakers for, against, I'll declare the motion carried unanimously. Now we've got to go into confidential. We've got two confidential items to finish up, and I need to go into a closed session because they deal with commercial in confidence information which could confer a commercial advantage, because they deal with a tender, a cleaning services tender. And one is the extension of a panel expert and community members. So go into closed session. Any objections? Been moved by Councillor Manor, seconded by Councillor Esper. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, those against, declare that carried. So we're in closed session. pleasure to read the two motions that had been resolved on the two items.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Messon. In relation to item 11/24, just confirm the council has endorsed to defer the item to a later meeting. And just let me pull up. In relation to item 12/24, council resolved to appoint the following members to the BOPP, Bill Local Planning Panel, for the period 28 February 2024 to 30 June 2024, being Stephen Kerr as the chair of the panel. All seven of the existing expert members who are eligible for reappointment, or four existing community representatives who are eligible for reappointment. Let the general manager report back to council before 30 June 24 with the proposed expert and community representative membership for the next panel term, which commences on 1st July 24. And lastly, that the general manager write to the outgoing chair, alternate chair, and expert members to thank them for their contribution to the BOPP over the past 6 years.
There being no further items, I declare the council meeting closed at 7:08. Thank you.